once God begins to start pouring out His Spirit in a great way, many things begin to happen. One of the things that He begins to do is reveal you.
Hello?
He begins to reveal us, in us. Things we've been holding on to, haven't realized we've been holding on to, things begin to come to the surface more. And unless we begin to get rid of it, we have struggles. Where God's presence is, which is a representation of light, darkness is revealed more. And one of the things that the devil loves to do is to remove someone from light back into dark. And he's good at it. He's had plenty of years of practicing. Now, it doesn't mean that he comes into the light. It means he shoots or he uses someone to go in for him. And he usually comes as a disguise or one way or another. We've seen many things happen. Even in the discipleship house, we've had men had visions of wolves and all sorts of things, and we've seen people yielding to them. And one of the things is that the wolf wants to come to the flock to remove the sheep. That's his job. No matter where in the body of Christ, whether, you know, every part of the body, there are flocks. There are many flocks, but there's one true head, but then God puts shepherds over each little flock. But we're all accountable to the true good shepherd. And what I want to share about tonight is called Exposing the Wolf. And, you know, we need to have the discernment. And the one thing that we can't do is be afraid of the wolf, you know, because he's nothing but an ant with a big megaphone. Even when you see him, I've been attacked by a wolf in my sleep where I was dreaming that I had a little child, a little boy, and he would come home from school and he'd run into the house and he'd say, "Daddy, Daddy," and he would be all afraid and something was chasing him, and I could never find what it was. And then about the second or third time he'd come home, he'd come into the house, and he'd say, "Daddy, Daddy." And I saw, and I finally, this time I said, "I'm going to sneak and wait for my son to get home, and when he gets home, I'm going to open the door real quick and find out what's chasing him." This was in my dream. And when I opened the door and found out what was chasing him, it was this huge, black, furry thing. I only saw the back of it. And my first instinct was my mind saying, "Shut the door and lock it." And then the next thing that popped was, "No, I have authority in the name of Jesus." And I said, "In the name of Jesus." And this thing must have been 9 foot tall, 8 foot tall. And I grabbed the back of it. Well, he turned around. And he had a face like a wolf, fangs hanging down. And he jumped on me, and when he jumped on me, I was holding his cheeks back so his fangs couldn't bite me. Now, I'm going, "Get him, get him, get him." I'm thinking, "Man, who am I saying get him?" And I hear my wife going, "In the name of Jesus," because, you know, she was sleeping right next to me, and I didn't realize this. Now, you got to understand something. I'm sunk down in my bed, you know, and I'm holding these cheeks of this wolf. And I finally realized as I looked to the left of me, and there's an angel of the Lord standing next to me. And I'm holding off this wolf going, "Get him, get him, get him." And I woke up. And I realized that it was just not only a dream, but it was happening because I was in the spirit. And it was a true thing that was happening. Because the devil loves to attack you, especially when you're a baby in Christ. When you're a baby in Christ, he's attacking you at your sleep. Until you finally take authority and you get rid of them. You know, how many times have you been choked while you've been sleeping? Amen? And those are real. They're devils. That's just not a dream. That dream is just it's a reality, and it's happening to you because the devil is trying to choke you, trying to give you fear. You'll find that sometimes you'll wake up in the middle of the night and go get a drink of water, and there's a wolf in your living room, and you can't run from it. You've got to remove him. Remember, it's just nothing but a representation of a devil. Now, you can't counsel devils, and you can't medicate them. The only thing that you can do is cast them, if they're willing. If an individual doesn't want that devil to leave him, that devil will stay, and usually the individual gets removed with the devil. You're either going to get rid of him, or you're going with him. And then he'll use you. Amen? So, remember, the Word tells us that we're not fighting flesh and blood. We can never lose sight that we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting powers of darkness, principalities, and wickedness in heavenly places. We are fighting demonic activity. But the devil is trying to bring you into that place where you're not. He tries to tell you that you're fighting your brother, your sister, your mother, your spouse, and everybody else. Your boss, whatever. Because what he's trying to do is keep you in the natural realm. Does everybody get it? But if you'll stand bold, if you'll stand bold and come against the powers of darkness, you'll have victory. Because if you don't, they'll know. And they'll always steamroll you. Does everybody get it? They'll always steamroll you. See, they're testing you to find out whether you know they're there or not. And one of the things that the wolf does is come to remove the sheep from the flock to eat it up. That's his job. And the wolf must be exposed. And even when the wolf is exposed, the individual still has a choice. And individuals. Amen? Would you turn to John 10, please? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you about another dream in a couple minutes here. Praise God. In John chapter 10 and verse 1, is everybody there? Let's read this together. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now the door is who?
Jesus.
Amen. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Well, that's the importance of fellowship, isn't it? And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. Isn't that wonderful? And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Does everybody get that? So the shepherd leads the sheep, and the sheep choose to follow because they know his voice. The problem is when the wolf comes, sheep don't know the true voice of the shepherd, and they begin to follow the wolf. Now, let's go a little further for it. In verse 5, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Why? Because they're shutting off the voice of the stranger. They know the voice of the shepherd. Does everybody get it? You know, after you've been involved in a fellowship for a while, and you've heard the voice of the shepherd that God has put there, sometimes you hear that voice. You know what I'm saying? I've heard many people say, man, I heard your voice. You know, being the shepherd of this flock, they said, I heard your voice say something to me. And it was just the spirit quickening. Does everybody get it? The spirit quickening to something. And, or, it, you know, it might have been from a teaching that you heard the voice or something relating to whatever, but you heard that voice, you got quickened, and you remember because it was from the shepherd, but it was from the true shepherd. Amen? It's just that he uses something for me and you to be related to in remembrance. So we must know the voice of the shepherd. And one of the things that happens is when we refuse counsel from the shepherd, it's because we're not listening to the voice of the shepherd. And then people go astray. Amen? Let's go a little further. It says that Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Pasture is a place where they eat. Amen? And rest. The thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it, what? More abundant. You know, understand this. The wolf comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The shepherd comes to give. Does everybody understand that? So we know that Jesus came to bring us life more abundantly. But you're going to find that the darkness, the wolf, the powers of darkness, are going to try and steal even what Jesus has given. Does everybody understand? Okay, let's go a little further. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, which is one who's been hired, he who is not the shepherd. Now remember, he's saying that this hireling is not a shepherd. One who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. Wow. You know how many times a brother or sister of yours saw the wolf come and fled and left the rest of the sheep? In other words, they saw the wolf and didn't tell anybody. They saw the wolf doing what it was doing and chose not to let anybody know that the wolf was doing something in the flock. And you know what happens? Listen. Read this with me. And the wolf catches the sheep and what?
Scatters
them. Does everybody get that? The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Now, remember, he says it wasn't the shepherd that left them. It was a hireling or another member. Does everybody get it? In verse 13, it says, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Does everybody get that? So when you see something going on in the flock, and you know that the wolf is activating or on the move, you don't sit there and do nothing, because God has given you the revelation that the wolf is on the move. And if you don't do anything, the blood will be on your hands. Amen? Does everybody get it? It's important. If you don't do anything about it, whatever happens that is scary in those sheep and what happens to them, the blood will be on your hands because you didn't do anything about it. That's why you must go repent quickly. Amen? Now remember, the thief is the what? Wolf. And he's to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And he's come to bring a scatter, isn't he? Now, if the sheep are following, they will know the voice of the shepherd. Right? And the good shepherd, who is Jesus, they're going to follow. And they're going to know his voice. And then he's going to give them abundantly, isn't he? Remember, Jesus came to give abundantly. The wolf came to steal. Everybody with me? Okay, go to Matthew 13. Hallelujah. You know, we're to be exposing the wolf. Not hiding for him or covering for him. We're to expose the wolf. Does everybody get it? And if you're not exposing the wolf, the blood is on your hands. And if you repented for not exposing the wolf and choose still not to expose the wolf, the blood stays on your hands. Because repentance means to turn away and do the right thing. And ain't no buts about it. In Matthew 13, verse 18. Hallelujah. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Let's read it together. Jesus said, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Who's the wicked one?
The wolf.
Amen. Come on. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Keep going. But he who receives seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Wow. It says the first one is the seed was put on the wayside, and the other one had no root. You understand it's talking about ground. Ground. Now, a foundation is built on the ground, isn't it? Now, we know that the word means the foundation, and the ground represents the spirit. Does everybody get it? The foundation represents the word, and the ground represents the spirit. In relationship of fellowship. Does everybody get this? In other words, nothing is built without the Spirit. We'll go there. Okay. In verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, in the cares of this world and deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becomes what? unfruitful. Well, then why is the cares of the world choking the word? Why is it he's, why does he have so much cares of the world? No fellowship in the Spirit. Does everybody get it? Everything is related to fellowship in the Spirit. But he who receives seed on the what?
Good
ground. Fellowship in the Spirit. Is he who hears the word and what?
Understand.
Well, you can't understand it without having fellowship in the Spirit. Amen? Who indeed hears, or who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60 and 30. Does everybody get it? So the ground is representation of fellowship in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now we see that the wicked one, who is the thief, the wolf, the devil, all the same, steals the seed, the word of promise, and tries to destroy what the foundation is trying to be built on. Amen? He does not want that foundation to be built. Now, we want to be able to produce fruit, don't we? So when things are stolen, we understand that it's not stolen by man, it's stolen by the devil. Amen? Let's go to Matthew 7. Hallelujah. You know, do you ever wonder why so many people know the word, but everything every time they come to something, they stumble? Because there isn't fellowship in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Matthew 7, verse 13. Glory to God. Let's read this together. This is Jesus saying, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction." So it's easier to lead to destruction, isn't it? "And there are many who go in by it." Now check that out. It says, "many who go in by it." Verse 14. "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life." So we see it's difficult, isn't it? "And there are few who find it." Wow. So many go the other way, but few find it. And then he explains, he says this, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are what? Ravenous wolves." Wow. Now listen, false prophets, he's not just talking about someone who's prophesying. Because the Bible says that the spirit of prophecy is this testimony of Jesus. Is everybody with me? There are some that are testifying Jesus, but they're actually wolves in sheep's clothing. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Let's go a little further. Verse 16. It says that you will know them by their what?
Fruit.
It says, do men. Now understand this. He brings the acknowledgement of these ones that are wolves in sheep's clothing as men. Is everybody with me? Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Do you understand that? He's bringing acknowledgement that these are those that are claiming to believers that are wolves in sheep's clothing. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will what?
You'll know them.
You'll know them. You'll know them. Now, what is one of the fruits? Steal, destroy, and kill. That's some of the fruit of it, isn't it? If there's someone there that's taking instead of giving, you know that's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Is everybody with me? This is so important. If somebody is there taking instead of giving, that's a wolf. And I'm not saying that wolf can't be delivered. That person can't be delivered. Amen? Okay, look at this. Verse 21, this is what Jesus says. Read it with me. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So what is he saying? There's going to be many that claim to know me, but they're not entering in because they're not willing to do my will. See, you may know the word from cover to cover and still choose not to do the will. Go on, verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, what day? The day of judgment. But understand this. The day of judgment, there are many days of judgment. We all understand that there are certain days of judgment. But there's a specific day of judgment for you, the day you die, which determines where you go. That is your individual day of judgment. Then there is eternal judgment which comes. All right? But there is a judgment when you die, right then and there. Does everybody get it? Okay, and this is what he's saying. He says, many will say to me in that day that they die, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name. And done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now that's powerful. What's he saying? See, there are those who are still working, and I'm letting my spirit work through them, but behind closed doors, they're practicing lawlessness. They're the ones that are using God for self-gain. And verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the what? Now, rock is hard, solid foundation, solid ground, isn't it? Where a foundation can be built. Is everybody there? Did I lose anybody? Okay, we're talking about ground again, aren't we? Solid rock. What a foundation needs to be built. Jesus says, anyone who what? Hears my saying and does them. Has fellowship in the Spirit, is what he's saying. Go on to the next one. And the rain descended, the floods came, and what's the flood from? The devil. And the winds blew and beat on that house. And who's the house? Me and you. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the what?
Rock.
Wow. He was founded on the rock. Then he goes on to explain that whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the what?
Sand.
Wow. No fellowship in the Spirit. Is everybody with me? You're going to be hearing me say that a lot tonight because this is very important. Now, if you back up a little bit, And when he said, many will come to me and say, I've prophesied, I've done this in your name, these were ministers. Does everybody get it? These were ministers of Jesus Christ who took heed of the voice of the stranger and stopped fellowship in the Spirit and began to just minister. God will use them because he's out there to save the world, isn't he? But their judgment will come on the day they die because they practice lawlessness. Listen. How many ministers do you know that are not, well, I don't know. Anyways, how many ministers have been brought up that have been found in fornication, this, that, and have been doing bad dealings in most of their ministry, and people have been delivered, healed in their services, and they've had wealth and all kinds of stuff, right? Because you're not to judge by the gifts, you're not to judge by the prosperity, you're to judge by the fruit. And if you've ever heard the tapes by the Revelation of Hell, how many ministers were in hell? Amen. Many. Because they practice lawlessness. No. That's when immediately death. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 6. Hallelujah. Now it says that the one who hears my sayings and does them has built his house on the what? Rock, which means solid ground, hard ground. And Matthew 16, please. In verse 15. Matthew 16 and verse 15. And Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? Wonderful scripture. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the what?
Christ.
Christ, which means the what? the Anointed One and His anointing, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father whom is in heaven. What did he get the revelation on? That Jesus was more than just Jesus. He was more than just the Son of God. He was the Christ, the anointing, the Spirit, God Himself, who come into the natural realm to reveal Himself and give power to all men. And verse 18. And Jesus also said, And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on what?
This rock.
What does a rock represent? Relationship, fellowship in the Spirit. He said, on this revelation, Peter, that I am the Christ, the Anointed One and His anointing, is how I'm going to what? And I will build my what? Church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, because the gates of the hell cannot come against the Spirit, can it? Does everybody get that? Hallelujah. So we see Christ is the true prophet, isn't he? He is the true shepherd, building on the revelation of the fellowship in the Spirit. The Bible says that God is Spirit, isn't he? And those who worship Him must worship Him in what? Truth and Spirit. The Bible says that truth sets me and you free, doesn't it? Truth. So according to Hosea 4:6, that we know that the Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of what?
Knowledge.
Well, you know what? They're destroyed for lack of truth, right? Because you can have all kinds of knowledge, but it might not be truth. But if you have truth, you walk in freedom. Because knowledge isn't going to free you. Truth is. That's why there are many people walking around with a lot of knowledge, but they have no understanding of it. Because when you get understanding of the knowledge, it manifests truth. And then they walk in victory and freedom. Amen? But you're not going to get it without fellowship in the Spirit. In Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Simple, quick teaching tonight. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 10. Glory to the Lamb and the Good Shepherd, who reveals the wolf to His people. Now they just got to get a wimpy spirit out of them and attack them. In verse 16, let's read it. Jesus said, Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as dove. Isn't that wild that Jesus would say, be wise as serpents? Why? Because the serpent is the most cunning beast God created. He said, be wise as serpents, but gentle as doves. He says, I send you out as sheep and wolves. Now, there are two kinds of wolves. Actually, three kinds. Okay? There's the wolf, which is known as the unbeliever, which the devil uses. There's the wolves who are the believers, known as religion. And then there are the wolves who don't even know that their believers are used, that they're being used by a, or the wolf is using the believer. Does everybody get it? So there's the ones that are unbelievers, there's the wolf that is the religious, and then there's the one that is unknown to the believer. So there are three types.
What's the difference between 1 and 3?
1 and 3? One is an unbeliever. Three is the one who is a believer but doesn't know it. Yes. Because there are many unbelievers who worship the wolf. Okay, but an unbeliever doesn't worship the wolf. Okay? I mean, a believer doesn't worship the wolf, or not knowingly worshiping the wolf. But an unbeliever is willingly worshiping the wolf. Hallelujah. Okay. Did we clarify that? Three types of wolves. One who worships the wolf, religion, and one who's a believer who doesn't even know that the wolf is using them. Okay, praise God. in verse 17. Let's read this. But beware of what?
Men.
So we see that the wolf is using men again, isn't it? For they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. Oh. Where's the synagogue?
Church.
Group of, you know, fellowship. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the what?
Spirit.
Ah, so we see that there's the wolf is coming against the Spirit. Because the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, brother will deliver up brother to death. Well, aren't we all brothers in Christ?
Okay.
You'll find some that will deliver you up. Because the wolf is coming against the Spirit. And now brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be what? Hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be what?
Saved.
Saved. So you got to understand something. The wolf, and of course every demon, is a representation of the Antichrist. All demons are coming against the move of God. The devil's job is to stop the move of God, no matter who he uses. That's his job. Why? So people don't get freed. See, you can come to Jesus and get involved in religion and be bound. Stay in the outer courts and never have fellowship in the Spirit. Because the Bible says where the anointing is or where the Spirit is breaks the yoke of bondage. Amen? Okay. Let's go a little bit further here. Now, wolves, which represent men, here he's talking about using men, it says that you and I must endure persecution. And of course we know that the wolves are demonic forces at work, deceiving men and women and children, ministers, anyone they can, by not knowing the whole truth. Does everybody get it? And if you'll notice that a lot of the New Age books, man, they sound wonderful if you read them. They even have the word God in there. And they have the word Spirit and all kinds of things. But they're partial truths. When the serpent deceived Eve, he shared with her a partial truth. But he didn't tell her a whole truth. And then he called God a liar, didn't he? He said, if you eat this, you'll be like God. Well, he wasn't wrong, but they wouldn't be like God. They would have a character and representation of knowing good and evil. But God wanted to train up his people to know good and evil, not to have to endure it. Does everybody get it? And there was a difference. See, God wanted to train them up in purity and love, teach them what good and evil was. Not that they had to endure it in that way. But because of that, then the serpent deceived Eve and she bit the bait. And we were the offspring of it. We were the offspring of spiritual abortion. Hallelujah. But thank you, Jesus. He rescued because he raises us from the dead, doesn't he? You know, think about it. We were spiritually aborted. Woo! Okay, to God be the glory. Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. Hallelujah. In verse 28, Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read verse 28 together, please. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purposed with his own blood. Now, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. That was a warning, wasn't it? Verse 30. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Do you understand what the wolf does? Draws the disciples away to serve themselves. Verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, we know that Paul was a shepherd of churches. He was the shepherd of actually 7 flocks. He would write letters to them. And this is what we have as a representation in the book of Acts. Warning. In one of Paul's epistles, you see that he's always warning his churches everywhere the letters go out. He was sharing, listen, you've got to understand. I've been writing to you, I've been warning you for 3 years about wolves that come into the flock. And you're responsible to make sure that they don't stay. Does everybody get it? Why? You'll know the wolf by the fruit. You'll know the wolf by the fruit. You know, because we have this discipleship house with men that come in, there are times when we have to remove people because they will not take counsel. And the wolf has got hold of them. And they become a cancer to the rest of the flock. And it's not an easy thing after you've poured out your heart in counsel, in ministry, and so forth, and one or two or whatever just won't take heed. And then they have to be removed. Because a shepherd's responsibility is to protect the flock. Sometimes they just have to go out and eat more dirt till they finally come to repentance. But do you ever notice that when one is trying to leave a flock or a church, they try to take everybody with them because they were offended on something and it opened the door for the wolf to come. Amen? So you and I must be wise about it. Now you got to understand something. One of the greatest wolves positions in the body of Christ is religion. Religion is the greatest wolf. Because he is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And doesn't even know it sometimes. Hallelujah. Did you ever notice that Jesus didn't play no games with the Pharisees and Sadducees? He just rebuked them, called them hypocrites, didn't try to, you know, and walked away from them. No. And he exposed them outwardly in front of all the people. Even John the Baptist did the same thing. He exposed them. When I had a meeting, because we had this the product, the Vine of Life juice, and there was a place that was supposed to go into, and this place that it was supposed to go into, very religious, they have Jesus all over the place, everything is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I went and dropped some juice off there and shared a little bit of my testimony, and they sold it. You know, the Vine of Life juice is the Word of God in the can. It's a powerful witness tool. And they called me up, and the owner said, you know, I want to see you. I said, oh, you want to put more juice in? He says, yeah, we sold out. People liked it. But I'd like to see you before, you know, we put any more in. I said, okay. I said, well, when do you want to see me? Well, tomorrow, 3 o'clock. That night, my wife has a dream. Now, she went to bed early because she was getting up at real early in the morning. So she went to bed, and she woke up, and she said, Guy, I had this dream. There was 3 foxes. And they were beautiful. And it looked so cuddly and whatever. And they came underneath the bedroom door. And they ran up my leg and they started biting me. And they were vicious, like wolves. And then she woke up. I went to sleep that night. I had a dream. There was a boxing ring. And I was going up to fight in this boxing ring. And I said, and I hadn't trained, I hadn't done anything yet. And the Lord was my coach. Amen. And I kept saying, Lord, I haven't even worked out, I haven't done anything yet. And every time I would say something, that's why he was putting the gloves on and tying them up on me. I kept going, Lord, you know, I'm not even in physical shape yet, you know. And I'm thinking, man, you know, and I don't remember if I saw the individual or not, but whoever that individual was big. Was big. And I'm thinking, Lord, it's just little me, you know. I mean, and you know, and I had the robe on, you know, and it was like, I couldn't turn around. He kept pushing me up there. And I said, all right, Lord, if it's for you, I'll go. And I'd walk 20 feet, and I'd say, but Lord, you know, I mean, come on. He would tighten up the strings on my gloves even tighter, you know. And I said, okay, Lord, if it's for you, I'll go. I woke up. Well, I went to that meeting. And he said, would you come in the back room with me? I said, sure. And I brought the juice back there. And he said, so tell me your testimony again. And I told him how I had an encounter with the Lord. And God blinded me and filled me with the Spirit. I began to pray in tongues. And a serpent came out of me. And I was totally different. And then the Lord gave me the vision of this juice and so forth. And he said to me, I don't believe that. I said, well, you know, I'm not going to lie to you, you know. He says, well, I believe that it was just an illusion from the leftover drugs that was in your body. I said, man, I was clean for 2 months. I didn't use. And he started quoting me scriptures, this, that, and whatever. And I said, no, man. I said, and we started talking. And he was trying to convince me and this and that. The next thing, 2 other guys come in the room and shut the doors. Here comes the 3 foxes. Now, they're starting to shoot at me. Now, I look at this man, I see this huge shadow behind him. And he's telling me that Mother Teresa was a witch. All these other ministers are nothing but false prophets, this, that, and whatever. I'm like, whoa. Now, I'm getting drained because we're going on for almost 2 hours. And I said, Lord, let me just pray in tongues and show these guys. And the Lord quickened me. They'll kill you. I'm thinking, what? And then when I looked at this man, I saw this man with a shotgun killing people who were in the Spirit. And I said, Lord, what do I do? And he says, I'm going to make a way of escape for you. Now, one of the guys, I smelled cigarettes. And these guys are claiming how holy they are. And I said, well, if you're so holy and you talk about destroying the temple, this and that, why are one of your servants here huffing cigarettes? Well, this they couldn't answer that. were making every excuse possible. Then they said to me, we want to make a man out of you. In other words, why do you have a ponytail? Why this? I said, Lord, Lord, get me out of here now. All right, that's enough. I'm tired, Papa. They're not willing to receive. And one of the guys moved away from the door, and I just nonchalantly walked over there. It was like probably an angel went ahead of me and just pushed them out of the way. And I went to the door, and I shared with them that they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And they needed to repent because they've offended their Heavenly Father. And that man was leading these men to hell with them. And I left. When I left that room, that building, I barely made it to my car. I was so drained and so weak. I'm telling you, my head was bouncing off my steering wheel. I was drained. And when I walked out, I looked up and I said, man, did you set me up? I said, Daddy, you set me up big time. And I was like, well, I warned you. So I got in the car, I drove him, I came to my front door. I opened the door and fell in. I really couldn't even speak. I was so drained. And I just said to my wife and my mother-in-law who was here, lay hands on me and pray in the Spirit. And they did, and I got revived, refilled, and popped up. And the Lord showed me about the wolf of religion. You know what the wolf of religion does? Takes. Takes. Steals what the seed of God has imparted. The wolf of religion takes. Blew my mind. Now, you got to understand something there. The wolf not only takes, but rebels. The wolf is a stumbling block. Doesn't receive counsel and takes what it can. The wolf in sheep clothing. Of course, he carries a trinity, me, myself, and I. You know, I've shared this before. One of the things that the Lord has shared with me about this ministry, and it's his ministry, and every ministry has its part, doesn't it? Is clean up batter. And what we do is we clean up what religion has taken or imparted. Does everybody get it? What this ministry does is clean up what the religion has imparted, and it restores what it's taken of the Spirit. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians 11? Hallelujah. You know, the wolf sometimes can look beautiful. Sometimes the wolf can have all the forms of godliness. It can say the high-class intellect words. But its tail gets stuck up when you mention the Spirit. And the fangs come out. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. Can you read this with me? For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Wow. And verse 14. And no wonder, For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Wow. Wow. Now, he says that they would transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Now, I share with you about the religion. And it doesn't mean that someone doesn't love God. But if they truly love God, they have that relationship with Him in the Spirit, don't they? Because what they're doing is hearing His Word. And if they're hearing His Word, they're abiding in the Spirit. Now, the religion will go by what it knows and not who it knows. And the problem is what it knows is error. That's not all truth. And what it does is lead people astray. And takes. For example, we minister in the jail. There are a lot of ministers that go in the jail. We minister in a jail. We have anointing services. We see people get baptized in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues and so forth. And then you'll get a minister that will come right behind and say, tongues is no longer, the gift of the Spirit is no longer, those things are no longer, that is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Whether he knows it or not. Whether he knows it or not, he is a wolf and doesn't know it. What is he there to do? Take what the Spirit's imparted. Steal. Why? Because Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly, and the devil wants to steal life abundantly. He wants me and you to walk in the natural and not in the Spirit. And he'll use these righteous ministers who do not even know, who are bound by the religious demons, those wolves, to take what Jesus has imparted. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I know this seems kind of rough, but you know, my last ministering in jail did it, man. I said, Daddy, and I let them all know. I said, you know what? I don't care. It's over with, man. It's over with. And the Holy Spirit came upon me and gave me such boldness, and the anointing was powerful, and he spoke. I'm telling you, I wish I had a tape of that service that we did in jail. Because it was powerful. The insight that he brought to all of us was powerful. When the Lord shared with me, I want you to teach about exposing the wolf. Or to expose them. Why? Because he's stealing God's children. He's leading them astray and binding them in bondage and bringing them into the outer courts where they don't have relationship in the Spirit. And they struggle and fight. They fall into fornication. They backbite. They accuse. They criticize. And they bear no fruit. Only in front of men. Yeah. But behind closed doors are ravenous wolves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 1, would you read this with me, please? We're going to read this whole chapter. Hallelujah. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Wait a minute. Do you know that we are ministers of the Spirit, not letter? Does everybody get it? We are ministers of the Spirit, not the letter. It says what? For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now listen to this. If something kills, it means it takes, doesn't it? So it says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Remember, Jesus said, I've come to give life more abundantly. But the devil comes as one that what? Steals and what? Kills. Does everybody get that? It's because, understand this. The Lord says, if you know me, you'll abide in me, right? In other words, you can know the word and not work and not walk it. That brings death. So you can do all word, 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 and know the word and have no fellowship with the Spirit, and you're still going to hell. Because if you can't walk up, Jesus said, your righteousness must exceed the scribes and the Pharisees. And the only way it will do that is in the Spirit. Amen? So you and I are to be ministers of the Spirit, not of the letter. Remember this. The letter or the law is a tutor. The Spirit is the mentor. Write it. The letter is a tutor. The Spirit is the mentor. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. The letter is the tutor. The Spirit is the mentor. Because you can't have a relationship with a letter, can you? You must have a relationship in the Spirit, which brings the letter what? Alive. Now there's a difference. In verse 7, but if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be what? More glorious. For if the ministry of the condemnation had glory, the ministry of the righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. Wow. Their minds were what?
Blinded.
For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ, meaning the anointed one in what? His anointing. So understand this. The letter does not remove the veil. Okay? The letter doesn't remove the veil. Watch. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their what?
Heart.
Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Then he tells you who the Lord is. Now the Lord is the what?
Spirit.
Say it again. The Lord is the what?
Spirit.
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 Praise be to God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Liberty.
Praise God. So when someone turns to the Spirit, the veil is taken away. Does everybody get that? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the what? Spirit of the Lord. Amen? So the letter or the law is the tutor, right? The Spirit is the mentor. I'll give an example on this here in a minute. Well, maybe I better give an example on that right now. First, let's go to Galatians 3. Oh, Jesus. That's why it's so important. When you lead someone to the Lord, you need to lead them to the Spirit. You cannot let them go astray just by the seed. Remember, the letter is the seed, isn't it? The word is the seed. Remember, the Bible says that the word is the seed planted. Jesus is the seed of God. That's why there's two steps to be born again. The seed conceives, the Spirit births. The seed conceives and the Spirit births. That's why people always have to rededicate their lives back to the Lord, because of so many times in the beginning. In other words, do you ever see somebody come up to the Lord, come up to the altar, receive Jesus, okay, but they're still going out doing the same thing? No power, right? Amen. Okay, Galatians 3. 23. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the what? Why? Because he was a tutor. Kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our what?
Tutor
to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a what?
Tutor.
Hallelujah. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ. Does everybody get it? So we know that the law was the what?
Tutor.
The letter is the tutor. It's the tutor. But the Spirit is the mentor. In other words, you don't have to find God in the Word. You have fellowship in the Spirit, and He brings you to His Word to be mentored. There's a difference. People are still looking for God in the Word. Now, don't get me wrong. If you'll go to God in fellowship in the Spirit, He'll bring you to His Word. And the Word becomes alive. There's a difference. Because see, the Spirit reveals, the Word confirms. If you're trying to get confirmation before it's been revealed, ain't nothing happening. So you and I don't have to go to the Word to look for God. We go and speak to Him because He's our Daddy. He's our Father. We're in love with Him. We speak to Him. We pray in the Spirit. We worship Him. You don't worship, you don't put the Bible in front of you and worship the Bible, do you? No. You worship God in spirit. Then He quickens you to His Word for confirmation. So He reveals in the Spirit and He confirms through His Word. So you don't have to go look for God in the Word. You go to Him and talk to Him and He says, go here. Or go here. Or open the Word. Does everybody understand that? But see, when we were babies, we would look for God in the Word until we were baptized in the Spirit. Then we began to look for Him personally. Personally. Now we begin to look for Him as a person, not as a letter. Amen? Oh, to God be the glory. John 5. Now, see, religion wants you to find God in the Word and be bound by the letter and not have relationship in the Spirit. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because then they build themselves up by knowledge, but not by truth. Because it's partial truth. See, then they can't understand it. And then they teach somebody else what they don't understand. And everybody, you know, goes astray. That's why there's so much controversy about gifts of the Spirit in the body of Christ. Because the wolf. That's why people are still walking around suffering. Because they've been taught that Jesus doesn't heal anymore. Until they finally go into a place or somebody comes across their path and lays hands on them. Hallelujah. And John 5, verse 39. 5:39. I know I perked up everybody when I shared with you couldn't find God in the Word. But there was a more deeper meaning to that. Because we know the Word is truth, don't we? But you know what? If you don't understand the Word, it isn't truth. Does everybody get that? If you don't understand the Word, it's just it's not truth. It's just another book. Amen. In John 5, verse 39, read this with me. And Jesus said this to the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and every other one that wanted to see. In verse 39, what does it say? You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. What? The Scriptures that testify of me. He says, man, you're trying to find me in there. But what does he say to them? But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Wow. You search the Scriptures that testify of me, thinking you have eternal life, but you won't come to me where you can have it. That's where that wolf uses the Scripture to try and sway you. The wolf that uses the Scripture to try and bring guilt, condemnation on you. Hello? Remember, he's the accuser. You know, there is... Anyways, I better not go there. I'm going to hold myself back as much as possible. To God be the glory. Now, the greatest wolf that was around was Paul, the apostle, when he was Saul. He was the greatest wolf. Turn to Acts 9. We'll just briefly go over this. In fact, he talks about, you know, in the book of Acts, about how he was. But in Acts chapter 9, hallelujah. In verse 1, Paul, who was a powerful man of God, who here was known as Saul, it says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. I mean, you got to understand, Saul was ordering Christians killed. He was the greatest wolf there was. Mr. Religion had himself. High-ranking official from a family of Pharisees who knew the letter inside and out. Believed that they loved God so much that they would kill for him. Couldn't keep the law themselves. Well, one day he had an encounter with Jesus. And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. And then Jesus told one of his servants, Ananias, and you can read this whole chapter, to go to see Saul and lay his hands on him that he could receive his sight by being filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. The greatest wolf who became a powerful man of God, a great shepherd, and a walking epistle, an imitator of the King of Glory, who walked this earth with great signs and wonders following him, and those who he trained who followed him, who was a wolf but became a powerful man of God by the Spirit. He no longer was bound by the letter. He was bound and chained to Christ Jesus, the Anointed One, and His anointing, who was led by the Spirit. He no longer persecuted or killed anymore. He exposed the wolf from that point on. He exposed the wolf from that point on. Praise be to God. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Now you can go to Galatians 5:19 and find the fruits of the spirit of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. But I'm not going there tonight. But I thought I'd throw that scripture in there in case you needed it. Galatians 5:19 through. But in Romans 8, in verse 2, is everybody there? It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Glory to God. "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us." In other words, here it is, if you do this, "who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." See, it can't be fulfilled if you're walking in the flesh. But if you're having fellowship and walking in the Spirit, it will be fulfilled. Amen. That's why those who are led by the Spirit are known as what? Sons of God. 2 Timothy 3, and then one more verse, and one more scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Everybody all right? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Remember, the wolf comes to steal, the Spirit comes to give. The wolf comes to steal, the Spirit comes to give. In verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." You ain't kidding. "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." And that's a lot in the Christian community. They're more interested in pleasure and fulfillment than they are lovers of God. Why? The wolf. The wolf is leading them astray. Look at verse 5. "Having a form of godliness but denying its power." Whoa, that sounds like they're coming against the Spirit. "And from such people what? Turn away." Turn away. Have no fellowship with them. "For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible men and women and children." Not just women. "Loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Everybody get it? Religion. Killer. Look at verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I told you, you can't counsel a demon. Or can you medicate it? It has to be removed. And if the individual isn't willing to have it removed, they got to go with it. James 1. Hallelujah. James chapter 1. Exposing the wolf. Have no fellowship with the wolf. In verse 21. Is everybody there? Therefore lay aside all filthiness. Come on, read this with me. And therefore lay all aside filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Why? Because the Spirit will bring it to remembrance. And verse 26, if any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion is before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That means to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Not about going out and getting pleasures. But about going out and getting souls.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it's about. Going out and getting souls. It's about doing the will of God. So, let's not allow the wolf to have reign in our house or in our life. Let's expose the wolf and get rid of it. Amen? Get rid of it. Take your authority and get rid of it. Father, we thank you for your word, and I'm asking boldness, Lord. Boldness, boldness, boldness in each and every one in this house. Increase the anointing, Lord, that when they speak, the wolf runs. Lord, we thank you for your word. We plead the blood of Jesus on this seed, and we ask that you allow it to grow and bear fruit for your glory. Give us the discernment, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and boldness that we can be about your business in truth, spirit, and in power, bringing glory to your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen,
amen and hallelujah.